الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our studies in the work of the great Imam الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، entitled فضائل القرآن. فضائل القرآن, the virtues of the Quran. In our previous class, we're reading the chapter the author he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, about the great sin and the dangers and the foul outcome and the threat of a humiliating punishment for those who show off, with the Quran. And we had read that chapter, babun ithmu man raya bil Quran. We have seen a number of issues with regards to the affair of al-riya' was-sum'ah, to show off and to want to be heard with the deeds of the hereafter, and that this is something that is despicable and a lowly way, and a filthy desire that could rise up in the heart of a believer, that he will do the deeds of the hereafter and hope by way of them a portion of this worldly life. And the deeds of the hereafter, they must be sincerity for the sake of Allah, and done hoping for the reward with Allah alone, and their good recompense in the hereafter, hoping for the reward of Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the good recompense in the hereafter. They must be done for the sake of Allah alone. And there are many threats with regards to being insincere and actions of worship. And from that, the hadith that we had taken in our previous class of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, radiyallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man sama'a, sama'a Allahu bihi, wa man yura'i, yura'i Allahu bihi," that whoever does deeds hoping to be heard, then Allah will make him heard, meaning Allah will expose him in front of the people, exposing his foul intention and his lowly desire, and that he's insincere. Exposing his insincerity in front of the people, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, specifically on the day of resurrection. And the one who shows off, meaning he performs actions so that the people will see him and praise him and like him and think good of him, then Allah will show him off, meaning then Allah will expose him. فَضَّحَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى رُؤُسِ الْأَشْهَادِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose that person, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And from that exposure is likewise what has preceded in the narration the author he mentioned of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, of the three, the first of those who will be taken to account for their deeds on the day of resurrection, and the fire will be ignited by way of them. From them there was a student of knowledge, the one who sought knowledge until he obtained a great portion, and he began to teach that knowledge along with memorizing and reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. But he did that so that the people would praise him and say that he was a scholar, or say that he was a sheikh, or say that he was this or he was that, or he was a reciter or memorizer of the Quran. And this was the reward that he had hoped for, and this is what he obtained. And then he will be humiliated and drug on his face after being called a liar in front of all of the people, claiming that he learned the Quran and he taught the Quran and he read the Quran for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It will be said to him, "Kadhabta, you're lying. You're lying. You said that so that it will be said you're a scholar. Or a reciter," and the likes like this. This is great humiliation. Then he'll be drug on his face and cast in the hellfire. Similar, like that as well, the person who was fighting in the cause of Allah with the sword, fighting until he gave his life. But in reality, what he wanted inside was to be known for bravery. And it was mentioned about him that he was brave. So therefore, he will have the same outcome, meaning he will have his reward in this life, and that will suffice him. And in the hereafter, he will have nothing but the fire, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, any punishment and disgrace. And likewise, the story of the one, the mention of the one who was very wealthy, and he spent his wealth in the different avenues that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla in his cause, but also he was insincere. So therefore, he will be exposed with his foul intention on the day of resurrection, and he will be drug on his face and cast in the hellfire. So this is the issue that had preceded. There was a number of benefits that we discussed in our previous class, but this chapter coming now that the author he's mentioning, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is coming from that which has preceded, the dangers of showing off and wanting to be heard, and using the deeds of the hereafter to obtain a portion of this worldly life. of this worldly life. And we remember the narration of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Abu Abdullah, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith, Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith, rahimahullahu ta'ala, whenever he mentioned, inna akbah al-ragba, and tutlab al-dunya bi amal al-akhirah. That indeed, the most disgusting desire is that the worldly life will be sought by way of the deeds of the hereafter. By way of the deeds of the hereafter. So the chapter now, the author he mentions, rahimahullah, is proceeding from this topic here. Babun ifmu man ta'akkada bil Qur'an. Babun ifmu man ta'akkada bil Qur'an. The chapter on the sin of the one who uses the Qur'an to earn a living. The one who uses the Qur'an to earn a living. And this is his intention, and this is his aim, and this is his goal, similarly to that which has preceded. So the intent from here is to emphasize the issue of the importance of al-ikhlas, ikhlas al-niyyah, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, the importance of sincerity and purifying the intention with the deeds of the hereafter. Here specifically, that which is related to the Qur'an, learning the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an, applying the Qur'an, abiding by the Qur'an, calling to the Qur'an, and the likes, all that which is related to that, it must be sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah. Rather, every deed that is a deed that is pleasing to Allah and is legislated in order to draw near to Allah, it must be sincerely and purity for Allah alone, with no ulterior motives whatsoever. With no ulterior motives whatsoever. If a person, he is sincere, many times Allah Azza wa Jal, from His grace and His mercy, He will open up for that person, and people will praise him, or people will like him, or people will support him, and people will help him, and aid will come to him. And this will not harm him so long as this is not his intention. And this is the point here, the intention. It must be purity for the sake of Allah. As for that which Allah He bestows on the people from His grace and His mercy, then Allah He chooses and He favors whom He wills with the deen and the dunya. With the deen and the dunya. And many times those who are sincere in the deen, Allah He will aid them by opening up the dunya for them to use in their path and their cause. To use in their path and their cause. But this life is a test. So one, he must be sincere. And the test begins first and foremost in the heart. The test begins first and foremost in the heart. And proceeding from the authenticity of that which is in the heart and the truthfulness and the purity of that which is in the heart will determine the value of the actions. Will determine the value of the actions. Has come in Sahih Muslim the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That indeed Allah, He does not look to your shapes and forms of your bodies, nor to your wealth, but what He looks to is your hearts and your deeds. What He looks to is your hearts and your deeds. Meaning this is the place of consideration, and this is the means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal by that which is in your heart and that which you perform from your statements, actions, and deeds. From your statements, actions, and deeds. So this is the place of examination. This is the place of test and trial. The place of test and trial. So a believer, he must constantly strive to purify the intention. Strive to purify the intention. Again, we have seen in our previous class the dangers of this affair, the issue of minor shirk and wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard and doing deeds of the hereafter with ulterior motives, wanting some portion of this worldly life of praise or status or position with the people or in the hearts of the people or in society. This is something that a believer, he must be aware of, and he must search diligently in his heart to strive to remove it and be afraid of falling into the likes of these affairs. And we have also seen some means of treating this issue in our previous class. But the issue is very serious. The issue is very serious. And from the greatest steps of the devil, من خطوات الشيطان, is to mislead a person in his intention. To mislead a person in his intention. So therefore, we study the likes of this chapter in order to remind one another the importance of being sincere. And striving to purify the intention for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal with our deeds that we do for the hereafter. That we perform them hoping to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal from the best of that. Studying the book of Allah. Learning the book of Allah. Memorizing the book of Allah. Applying the legislation and law that is found in the book of Allah. And calling to the book of Allah. This must be sincere. And no one can be sincere unless Allah, He makes him sincere. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace and His mercy to grant us purity of intention, to make us those who are truthful in their shahada, by His grace and His mercy. By His grace and His mercy. The issue here is about at-ta'akkul. At-ta'akkul bi kitabillah. At-ta'akkul yani talab al-kasb. Yani to seek a living. At-ta'akkul means literally here to seek a living. So this will be his intention and his aim. This will be his intention and his aim. So the same way, for example, a person, he will learn a particular trade. He'll learn a particular trade like engineering or like technology, some type of computer science, with an intention to earn a living. If the trade is lawful and the business that he is involved in is lawful, there's no blame in him for that. Alhamdulillah, he can earn a strong living, a great living, a good living, and there's no blame. There's no blame in that because this is a deed of the dunya and he's seeking the living and the worldly life by way of that, which is lawful and permissible. Which is lawful and permissible, even if he had a pure intention and he did that seeking the pleasure of Allah, sufficing with that which is lawful and fulfilling the rights that are upon him and establishing his deen with that money that he earns lawfully, he can turn now this effort, which is normally mubah and permissible, into an action pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. But the point is that this is something from the worldly life. To seek the worldly life by way of the worldly life and the means that are permissible and legislated and lawful, this is good and praiseworthy. And praiseworthy, especially for those who do it sincerely, believing in the limits of Allah, and striving against their soul to uphold those limits and remain inside them and not transgress them or violate them. This is a great way in cooperation upon piety and righteousness, but the point now here is that like this, a person, he will learn the deeds of the hereafter. He will learn the deen. He will learn the Quran. He will learn the sunnah. He will learn the law. He will learn the halal and the haram. And then he will use this knowledge and this position like they will use the knowledge of the dunya. He will use this knowledge and this position, this status, this rank in order to get the worldly life. And this is his aim and his goal. There's a great threat with regards to this. And there's a great punishment and retribution and disgrace for those who fall into this affair. So this is the chapter the author says, Babun ithmu man ta'akkala bil Quran. The chapter, the sin of the one who uses the Quran to earn a living. Who uses the Quran to earn a living. Again, the sin, meaning the sin and the threat of a great punishment. A great punishment and disgrace for the one who falls in this affair and dies in that manner. So the author says, An Jabir رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اقرأوا القرآن اقرأوا القرآن وابتغوا به الله وابتغوا به الله من قبل أن يأتي قوم يقيمونه إقامة القدح يتعجلونه ولا يتأجلونه رواه أبو داود. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Jabir رضي الله عنه, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said اقرأوا القرآن, recite the Quran. Recite the Quran. And he recited in a manner correct, according to your abilities. Recite it properly without going to extremes. And recite it for the sake of Allah. وَابْتَغُوا بِهِ Allah. And seek by way of that recitation, by way of that deed, Allah. Meaning seek the reward and hope by performing this deed, the reward and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An indication that it must be for the sake of Allah. مِنْ قَبْرِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ قَوْمٌ يُقِيمُونَهُ إِقَامَةَ الْقِدِحِ يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ وَلَا يَتَأَجَّلُونَهُ. Before a people come, and you recite the book of Allah. Recite the book of Allah and seek by way of it the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the reward with Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before a people come. Before a people come who will establish it the way the arrow is established. You know, they will recite it straight and proper and perfect. إِقَامَةِ الْقِدِحِ يُقِيمُونَهُ إِقَامَةِ الْقِدِحِ. And qidh is literally an arrow. And whenever they would manufacture the arrows, they would be very diligent to make sure that the shaft would be completely straight. They would work hard and diligently to produce the shaft of the arrow that is completely straight, so that it will fly precisely and properly. So they'll make great effort to straighten it. To straighten it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioning that a people will come and they will straighten the recitation of the Quran, meaning that they'll make great effort to recite it clearly and correctly and properly and memorize it diligently in this manner. In this manner. And the issue is يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ وَلَا يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ وَلَا يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ. And they're hastening by way of it the reward, and they're not doing it hoping for the reward in the hereafter. يتعجلونه يعني يتعجلون ثوابه في الدنيا ولا يتأجلونه في الآخرة. يعني they're hastening the reward. They're hastening the reward and they're not delaying it. Meaning that these people, they'll come and they'll learn how to recite the Quran precisely, and they'll have diligence with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal outwardly, and in its recitation, in its mode of recitation, in the makharij of the huruf, and the points of articulation, and the sifat, and the attributes of the huruf, and the pronunciation of the letters, and the recitation of the Quran, and the memorization of the Quran. Yet they would do that insincerely, and they'll be diligent in this manner to learn it and to recite it, all hoping for a hastened reward in this life, and not hoping for the reward in the hereafter. And this is from dala'il al-nubuwah. This is from the signs of prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he prophesied this, that he mentioned that a people, they will come. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, amongst the companions, these individuals, they were not present. And there was no one in this manner. But we have seen how the companions, they were, radiallahu anhum, with regards to the Qur'an, and how they learned diligently the Qur'an, its recitation, and likewise its understanding and application. And they would learn 10 verses at a time, and they would learn the knowledge and the application all together at the same time. All together at the same time. So they would learn how to recite and understand and reflect and comprehend and follow the Qur'an. And follow the Qur'an. This is what was present in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he's telling us that later there will come a people who are like this, and they had come. They had come even in the time of the Tabi'in and Atba' Tabi'in, all the way until today. There are individuals like this who are diligent in learning the recitation of the Quran and reciting the Quran, and they are insincere, and they are doing that, showing off, or hoping for a position in society, or using it as a means of livelihood, and the likes like this. And all of this is blameworthy. And all of this is blameworthy. The author, he says, rahimahullah, rawahu Abu Dawood, that this is narrated by Abu Dawood. And no doubt this is a narration narrated by Abu Dawood. But the wording here that is mentioned is actually the wording of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the wording of Abu Dawood is very similar. But it reads that he says, that Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, خَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَنَحْنُ نَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَفِينَا الْعَرَابِ وَالْعَجَمِ. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came out to us one day while we are all reciting the Qur'an. And amongst us there is the desert Arab and likewise the non-Arab. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, اِقْرَأُوا فَكُلٌ حَسَنٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, recite. And he recited the Book of Allah, and all of it is hasan. All of it is good. And he, those who recite it precisely and are very diligent in understanding its mode of recitation, and likewise those who are not so proficient, and he, from the desert Arab and from the non-Arab who find difficulty, it's good for all of it's good. Meaning all of you, if you're sincere in its recitation, you have a good reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. You have a good reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. اِقْرَأُوا فَكُلٌ حَسَنٌ. All of you recite it because all of you are good, meaning all of you will have a good reward. And the one who is proficient and the one who is lesser with regards to that. And we have seen in the very beginning the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha of the example of the Mahir bil Quran, and likewise the one that is difficult for him, how the one who is proficient has a high status and rank, but likewise the one who finds it difficult has a great reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. فَكُلٌ حَسَنٌ. So all of them is good. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَسَيَجِيُ أَقْوَامٌ يُقِيمُونَهُ كَمَا يُقَامِ الْكِدْحِ يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ وَلَا يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ. And there is going to come a people, yani in the future, who will establish it the way that this arrow was established. They will straighten it in this manner, meaning they will memorize it and recite it precisely in the same manner like the arrow is established straight. And they're hastening its reward and they're not delaying it. They're hastening the reward and not delaying it, meaning they're seeking the reward in this worldly life and not seeking it in the hereafter. After this, the author, he says, وَلَهُ مَعْنَاهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ سَهْلِ بْنِ سَعْدِ. And also Abu Dawood as well narrated the same meaning from the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu. And the wording of the narration of Abu Dawood that had proceeded from Jabir radiyallahu anhu, after that Abu Dawood, he mentioned this narration also of Sahal ibn Sa'd. And the wording is that again, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to them one day while they're reciting the Quran. خَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا وَنَحْنُ نَقْتَرِئُ وَنَحْنُ نَقْتَرِئُ. Yani while we're all together reciting the Quran. فَقَالَ.
صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله كتاب الله واحد وفيكم الأحمر وفيكم الأبيض وفيكم الأسود اقرأوا قبل أن يقرأه أقوام يقيمونه كما يقوم السهم يتعجل أجره ولا يتأجله ولا يتأجله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to them likewise and he said الحمد لله. The book of Allah is one. And amongst you is the red and the white and the black. You need the different people, the Arab and the non-Arab and those who are from the desert and the likes like this. You need those who have a proficient tongue in the recitation of the Quran and those who find it difficult to pronounce some of the letters, to pronounce some of the letters and the likes like this. This is the similar meaning. So read it before people come who straighten it and establish the recitation just like this arrow is established in the same manner, hastening the reward. يُتَعَجَّلُ أَجُرُهُ. I need to clarify what is intended specifically. The reward, the recompense. They're seeking the recompense now, in an early recompense, and they're not delaying it, meaning they're not hoping for the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So this is a thread of these people coming, and a warning from them and from their characteristics and trait. The individuals, they will come in the later generations, and they will learn the Qur'an proficiently, and they will recite it correctly and fluently, yet they will be insincere. They will be insincere, and their insincerity is that they will strive in this manner to learn the Book of Allah and recite it, to learn the Book of Allah and recite it, yet they do that with a foul intention. They do that with an intention that is corrupt and lowly, hoping for the reward in the worldly life, hoping for the praise from the people, hoping for the position from the people, hoping for some money from the people. This is what they want. This is what is in their heart, and this is the means that they take to achieve that which they desire. So this is a corrupt and a foul way, and a warning from the likes of this, and a warning from the likes of this. And this goes back, as I mentioned, to the previous narration. The one who is insincere with the Quran, he has the threat of being dragged on his face and cast into the hellfire after being humiliated in front of mankind on the day of resurrection. And many times, likewise, the likes of these people, they will be humiliated in this life. They'll be humiliated in this life even before the hereafter. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Also narrated by Al-Imam Ahmed, is a narration from Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri رضي الله عنه. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يُكُونُ خَلْفُ مِنْ بَعْدِ سِتِينَ سَنَةَ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبُعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ خَلْفٌ يقرؤون القرآن لا يعدو تراقيهم ويقرأ القرآن ثلاثة مؤمن ومنافق وفاجر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's going to be a generation coming after 60 years, and they will neglect their prayer, and they will follow their desires, and they're going to be cast in the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then after them will come another group. يقرؤون القرآن لا يعدو لا يعدو تراقيهم. They will recite the Quran and it will not go beyond their throats. لا يعدو تراقيهم. لا يتجاوز تراقيهم. It will not go beyond their throats. It will not go beyond their throats. ويقرأ القرآن ثلاثة. And three types of people will recite the Quran. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مؤمن ومنافق وفاجر. The mu'min, who's a believer, and the munafiq, who's the hypocrite, and the fajr, the wicked and evil person. And the discussion of these three have proceeded in the previous chapters likewise, and their relationship with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the dangers of being from the hypocrites with regards to the Book of Allah, and likewise from the fujar. And likewise from the fujar, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ مَنْ فَجَرَ بِالْقُرْآنِ. The chapter had proceeded. One of the narrators, his name is Bashir. He's the one who's narrating Abu Sa'id, his name is Al-Walid. And the one narrating on him is Bashir. So Bashir, he asked Al-Walid, he says, I said to him about this, ما هؤلاء ثلاثة? Who are these three that's referred to in this narration? فقال رحمه الله المنافق كافر به والفاجر يتأكل به والمؤمن يؤمن به. And he made the interpretation, and this is the interpretation of one of the tabi'een, one of the students of the companions. He says that the munafiq is the one who disbelieves in it, and the fajir, the wicked and sinful individual, he's the one who uses it to earn a living, and he's insincere with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He uses the Quran and his religious status to earn a living. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the believer, he's the one who believes in it. He is the one who believes in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned this issue in his book and more than one place, warning of this foul and lowly intention, being insincere in the deeds of the hereafter, and intending by way of them the worldly life, and how this person, he'll be disgraced. How this person, he'll be disgraced in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَصُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah, He mentioned in His book, and those who only intend this worldly life and its glitter and adornment, then we will recompense them their deeds in this life, and they will not be shortened whatsoever. And those who do the deeds of the hereafter for this worldly life, they will receive their recompense for those deeds in this life. نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. They will not be shortened whatsoever. And the one who does any of the deeds of the hereafter, yet he intends by way of them the worldly life, his recompense will come in this life. Like we have seen in that previous narration in our last class, that you did that so it would be said Alim. You did that so it would be said Qari. You did that so it would be said Jawad. You did that so it would be said Jari. So they will be said that you're brave. So they will be said that you're generous, or that you're kind, or that you're a scholar, or that you're a reciter or a memorizer. And they will get their reward for their deeds, or even any good that they have for their deeds. It will come to them in this life while they're alive. And after they die, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, there's a great threat. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These people in the hereafter, they have nothing except for the fire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And everything they did in this worldly life will be invalidated. And it will be rendered void, of no value, because it was not sincere. Even if it was performed properly in the best manner outwardly. Even if to an extent for a person to give his whole life, like the one in the previous narration, he fought till he was killed. He spent his whole life learning and carrying knowledge and teaching knowledge, reciting the Quran, reviewing the Quran. This is difficult. It's heavy. And then in the end, he has nothing. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلُوا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is disgrace. In the hereafter. On the last day, when there's no day after that. There's no dunya after that. The dunya is gone. He has nothing. وَلِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ. So there's a threat with regards to this. A believer, he must intend with his deeds, the face of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the reward of Allah, the recompense in the hereafter, safety in this life from misguidance, and the pleasure of Allah in the hereafter. This is what he wants. He wants to be firm in this life upon the tawheed of Allah, upon sincerity in his deed, upon the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which comes to him from the dunya, alhamdulillah, he will use that to get his goal, to establish that which he desires and what he wants. The author he mentions now, rahimahullah, Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu, annahu marra bi rajulin wa huwa yaqra'u ala qawmin. It's been narrated from Imran that he passed by a man and he's reciting to some people. In some wording is mentioned that he's reciting Surah Yusuf. فلما فرغ سأل. And whenever the man he's reciting in the street or somewhere to the people, and reciting for them the book of Allah. It's mentioned in Surah Yusuf, Allahu A'lam. And Imran ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhu, he's passing by and he sees. So it's mentioned that he stops and he's listening, meaning that, wallahu a'lam, the man is reciting a beautiful recitation until it got the attention of this companion and he's listening. Radiallahu anhu, falamma faragha sa'ala. And whenever he finished the recitation, he started begging the people for money. Yani on behalf of the recitation. Like he has a commodity. Like he's, you listen to my recitation, now you pay me. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ فَقَالِ إِمْرَانِ. Imran, he said, radiallahu anhu, we pay attention. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Imran, he said, radiallahu anhu, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Whenever the man, he's reciting the Qur'an, the people are listening. Maybe somebody's crying, possibly. Maybe people's hearts are affected. Maybe people are repenting from after hearing this beautiful recitation. They're benefiting from the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then after that, he says, pay up. Can you pay me some money? Can you give me some money? Like this, he starts begging the people. So Imran, what does he say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah. And indeed, we belong to Allah. And to Him we are returning. This is called Karimatu al-Istirja'. When do you say this statement here? Huh?
you say this statement whenever calamity befalls. Somebody lost a loved one, the first thing he should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji. Somebody lost some wealth, the first thing he should say, any calamity in the deen or in the dunya befalls a believer, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. This is the statement that when he says in a calamity. So he's considering this to be a calamity. And wallahi, it's a calamity that he'll be tried first and foremost with this, that a person, he'll be tried to be in a situation where he's listening to the Book of Allah recited, and then after that one, the one reciting it will belittle the Book of Allah in this manner in front of the people and beg them because of their recitation. And it's a calamity that a person, he'll have to witness the likes of this, wa'iyadhu billah. And even greater calamity that he's tried in this manner to the extent that he'll use the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal to beg the people and expect them to give money because he recited the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he considered this to be a great calamity. And then he says the narration رضي الله عنه إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من قرأ القرآن فليسأل الله تبارك وتعالى فليسأل الله تبارك وتعالى به فإنه سيجيء قوم يقرؤون القرآن يسألون الناس به رواه أحمد والترمذي. He said after that رضي الله عنه, indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, whoever recites the Quran, then let him ask Allah by way of it. Then let him ask Allah by way of it, any by way of the recitation. Let him seek their reward from Allah and ask Allah by way of that recitation. Need that what she wants for that recitation is with Allah, not with the people. It's with Allah, not with the people. So he'll ask Allah. He will recite the Quran for Allah, hoping that Allah would accept from him and provide for him and sustain him and protect him and help him and aid him because of his good deeds. Because of his good deeds. For indeed there will come a people who will recite the Quran asking from the people because of it. And asking from the people by way of it. As is occurring in this narration. So this is something that was even, that appeared in the time of the companions. Radiallahu anhum. And likewise after that the tabi'in. Until now. People in this manner that are insincere with the Quran. And the wisdom from this chapter is to learn about this affair and to be aware of it, to be cautious, not to be from the likes of these people, to identify that this is lowly, this is a foul way, and that which is related to the deeds of the hereafter, specifically learning the Quran and reciting the Quran and teaching the Quran and according to the Quran, the affairs of the deen, they must be purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been narrated by Abdul Razzaq, in his Musannif, Abdul Razzaq al-San'ani. Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 211. He has a great work called al-Musannif. Musannif Abdul Razzaq. And it has many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but more from the companions and the tabi'een. And this is from those works where you will find the narrations of the companions and the tabi'een, radiyallahu anhum, in abundance. So he narrated with his chain to Al-Hassan Al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 110, from the best of the imams of the tabi'een. He said, rahimahullah, inna hadha al-Qur'ana qad qara'ahu sibyanun wa 'abidun la 'ilma lahum bi ta'wilihi. That this Qur'an indeed has been recited by children and by slaves who have no understanding of its interpretation. وَلَمْ يَأْتُوا وَالْأَمْرَ مِنْ قِبَلِ أَوَّلِهِ. And they did not approach the Qur'an from the aspect of learning its meaning. أَوَّلِهِ يَنِي تَعْوِيلَهُ. And they did not approach it from the aspect of learning its meaning. وَقَالَ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. And then he said, رحمه الله, and he mentioned in the verse of Allah that this is a book, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكًا. Now, this is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of blessing in order for them to ponder over its verses. And he indicating that sufficing with mere recitation is not the wisdom from the revelation and not the purpose of the recitation. Rather, one he should strive to understand and comprehend. Therefore, from there, he would take admonition and apply it and abide by it and go straight. And then he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, وَمَا تَدَبُّرُ آيَاتِهِ إِلَّا اِتِّبَعُهُ بِعِلْمِهِ. He says, and to ponder over its verses is nothing except to follow its knowledge, following it in its knowledge, and he learning the meanings that are found therein, the law and legislation that is prescribed in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and following it in application.
following an application, first and foremost in creed and belief. And then after that, in the law that is found there, abiding by that in application of the obligations and avoiding and stay away from the prohibitions and establishing the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla in one's life. Then he said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Wallahi. He said, Wallahi ma huwa bihifdhi hurufihi wa ida'ati hududihi. I swear by Allah, pondering over the Quran is not by memorizing its letters and neglecting its limits. Ponderingly, the reason, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayati. He said, I swear by Allah, tadabbur ayati is not by learning its recitation, yani by learning its huruf, the letters and the recitation, memorizing the letters and the recitation, and then neglecting the limits, yani the law that is found therein. He says, حَتَّى أَنَّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ كُلُّهُ وَمَا أَسْقَطْتُ مِنْهُ حَرْفًا. He said, until the extent, and I mentioned that, this is from the narration of Al-Hasan, Al-Basri, Hidad in the year 110, from the best of the Tabi'een. So this is in the early generations. He said, until the extent that one of them, he will say, Wallahi, I read the whole book of Allah. I read the Quran, all of it, and I did not drop one letter. And meaning, I memorize it precisely. I read it from the beginning to the end and never miss one letter. Bragging about his recitation. Bragging about his fluency and his proficiency in the book of Allah. And then he says, وَقَدْ أَسْقَطَهُ كُلَّهُ. And he dropped the whole thing entirely. And meaning he missed the whole point. Bragging in this manner, I'll recite the whole Quran, and I'll never miss one letter, I'll never make one mistake in one harakah. I memorize, but he's not sincere. He's not sincere. And the point is going to come from this. And then he says, رحمه الله تعالى ما ترى له في القرآن من خلق ولا عمل. You do not see in this individual from the Quran any manners and nor any application. Meaning that the one who's truly reciting the Quran, it will change his manners and you will see it in the application of his life. You will see it applied in his life. It will change his conduct. It will change his manners. It will change the way he walks. It will change the way he talks. It will change the way he carries himself. It will change the way he deals with his family. It will change the way he deals with his people. It will change the way he deals with the Muslims, with the non-Muslims. It will change his life. It will guide him to that which is best in every aspect of his life. In every aspect of his life. In the hadith of Quran, يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. So he'll be from the best of mankind had he learned it sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It will rectify him. As for this person here is bragging in this manner, he says, you don't see the Quran in this man, not in his manners, not in his conduct, not in his deeds, not in his actions. And then he says, حَتَّى أَنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ لَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَقْرَأُ سُورَةَ فِي نَفَسٍ وَاحِدٍ. Until one of them, they will go to the extent he will say, I swear by Allah, I can recite this whole chapter in one breath. I can recite this whole chapter in one breath. And you'll see them until today. You'll see them until today doing the likes of this. Reciting the Quran, trying to recite it in one breath. And they'll go to extremes. And we have seen about this as well. And it's going to come more. And the dangers of going to extremes with the book of Allah. From that, you'll find them putting their hands on their head and then taking a big breath and reciting a long recitation in one breath. And then the people, oh Lord, and clap their hands. Wa liyadhu billah. Wallahi, it's misguidance. Misguidance with the Quran. These people are not reciting at the true recitation. They're not reciting at the true recitation. He's saying this was present in their time. One of them who will say, bragging, that I can recite this whole chapter in one breath. I can recite this whole chapter in one breath. He says, Wallahi ma ha'ula'i bil qurra. Wallahi ma ha'ula'i bil qurra'i wala al-ulama wala al-hukama. He said, I swear by Allah that these people, ma ha'ula'i bil qurra'i wala al-ulama wala al-hukama wala al-wara'a. He said, I swear by Allah, these people, they're not reciters, nor are they scholars, nor are they people of wisdom, nor are they wise men, nor are they people of piety and righteousness. وَمَتَى كَانَ الْقُرَّاءُ يَقُولُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَا. And when were the reciters, any of the true reciters, ever saying the likes of this? And when would a student of knowledge, a student of the Qur'an, really ever say something like this? A student of knowledge, a student of the Qur'an, a student of the Sunnah, he would never say the likes like this. He'll never say the likes like this, bragging about his recitation, even if he had a beautiful recitation. Rather, he'll humbly thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize the favor of Allah. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تُكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah, he said to his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his book, that indeed we have taught you that which you did not know. It is Allah azza wa jal, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla, He teaches the human being that which he did not know. So if Allah, He had taught you some knowledge, this is a favor and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, from the greatest favor and blessing is to have knowledge of the religion. To have knowledge of the religion. And the knowledge that is beneficial is the knowledge that is coupled with application. The knowledge that is seen in your life and changes the way you behave. Changes the way you act, changes the way you speak, changes the way you move. This is the one that is beneficial. He closes the narration. He says, "Rahimahullah, la kathara Allahu fil muslimina min ha'ula." May Allah not increase the likes of these people amongst the Muslims. And he's making dua against the likes of these people. The likes of these people that one they will not their numbers will not increase. That their numbers will not increase. From the benefits of this chapter and these narrations that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, we see the obligation of striving to be sincere and seeking to purify the heart from all lowly intentions and ulterior motives, and to make the deen, the actions of the hereafter, sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this requires diligence for a person to always review his situation and to check his intention in his heart. And likewise, in our previous class and in many classes, we have mentioned the narration of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. Whenever he clarified the dangers of the intention, and he said, "Ma alajtu shay'an ashadda alayya min niyyati fa'innaha tataqallabu alayya," that I never treated or dealt with anything more severe, more difficult, more hard upon me than my intention. Because it's always changing. So a person, he will not fall to the whispers of the devil and believe that he's sincere, and I'm sincere, and I'm righteous, and my intentions are pure. Rather, he will strive and he will hope that, but he will never claim that for himself. وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Do not claim to be righteous and to be pious. Rather, a person, he will fear hypocrisy, he will fear shortcomings, he will fear deficiency, he will fear a foul intention, a corrupt intention, while striving to purify his deeds, while hoping for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner, he will strive. There also in this chapter is the warning of showing off and wanting to be heard. The warning of showing off and wanting to be heard and having these ulterior motives, and from the worldly life, and mixing the intention with regards to the deeds of the hereafter. Mixing the intention with regards to the deeds of the hereafter. Also, in this chapter, we see that the one who's tried with this issue of showing off or wanting to be heard or performing the actions of the hereafter, hoping for a worldly gain, has been tried with the great calamity. And this is from the mention of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, whenever he heard that man begging after reciting the book of Allah, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Here there's a issue to discuss, a mas'ala fiqhiyah, the people of knowledge, they mention him. This is taking wages for teaching the Qur'an. Taking wages for teaching the Qur'an, and likewise for teaching the sciences of the religion. Is this allowed or is this permissible? And is this included here in that which is blameworthy? And to summarize before going into brief detail, the people of knowledge, they mention that this goes back to a person's intention. It goes back to a person's intention. Is he taking in order to teach, or is he teaching in order to take? Is he taking in order to teach, or is he teaching in order to take? So this goes back to a person's intention. So maybe a person, he has made great effort until he's qualified to be a teacher, yet he is poor himself, or doesn't have support or provision and the likes. He has little finances for himself and for his family. And in order for him to teach in a manner that is beneficial, he must free himself up. In order to be free and to have time for teaching. And teaching is not something you just step up to. Rather, it takes preparation, it takes time, qualification, and the likes like that. It's great effort behind teaching. So it's not something that somebody can go all day long to a job and then come home and teach and then go to a job. This is not going to be beneficial. Maybe he could do that in a little manner, and the best that he can. But to truly teach on a daily basis, then a person, he needs time.
He needs time. And that does not come whenever you have to seek for provision. So the likes of this person, if he were to be given and provided for from the believers, from the Bayt al-Mal, for example, in the Muslim lands, or from the believers, in order to establish that, and he takes that as a means of support and cooperation upon piety and righteousness, then this is good, and this is lawful, and this is praiseworthy from both ends, from him and from those who are supporting him. But as for if the person's intention was corrupted, and he is teaching to take, so he'll learn the sciences, or even if he was sincere at one time, his intention will change, and now he would do what he's doing to get money. Now his intention has been corrupted and it is not lawful. From the origin of this issue, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and others from the scholars before him, likewise, they discussed this topic based upon the issue of Hajj al-Badl, making Hajj on behalf of somebody else. And somebody else will make Hajj for somebody else. A person who will make Hajj on somebody who's not able to physically. For example, is this allowed? Can he take money for that? Could he take wages for that? So the issue goes back to this topic. If he's taking money in order to make Hajj, he loves Hajj, he wants to be on Arafah, he wants to be there himself, and he cannot go unless he takes money, and then he's doing on behalf of that other person, doing good to that person likewise, cooperating upon piety and righteousness, then this is lawful for him. And this is good for him. If he takes money, it's allowed for him. But as for the people who search for others to make Hajj on their behalf because they want money, now this person has a corrupt intention. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said this will almost never happen from a believer. This could almost never happen from a true believer. And only a hypocrite will search in this manner to use this great sacred right and pillar of al-Islam to get money. And he had to akkaru bihi. And he used this as his means to get money. He doesn't care about Hajj. He doesn't care about Arafah. He doesn't care about the rites of Islam. He doesn't care about making dua. He doesn't care about being with the pilgrims. All he wants to do is get a dollar. So the way that he finds to do that is to make Hajj on behalf of others. And the likes like this is a foul and lowly way. So the same idea is applied here to teaching the Quran. Or even after that, the other sciences of the deen, teaching the Arabic language, for example. Or whatever the case may be. And likewise, the imam. Or likewise the muezzin. Any of these people, they have to have free time to do what they do, to be in the proper places and the right time, so on and so forth. They have to be freed up. So for them to take money in order to do that, alhamdulillah, this is good. And this is from cooperative piety and righteousness. But as for the one who does that to take money. He doesn't care about the deen. He doesn't care about establishing the religion. He doesn't care about helping the Muslims. All he wants to do is get a dollar. Now this one has been corrupted. So this is the general understanding, or the general issue with regards to, or the general ruling with regards to taking money for learning, or taking money for teaching. It's been narrated from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma in Sahih Bukhari. The narration, which is a story about Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And it's been narrated by Abu Sa'id himself, radiyallahu anhu, in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's a story when a number of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, they're traveling. And they come across some people and they ask them to host them. And to help them, and to host them on their journey. And they refused. And then come to find out later that one of them, their leader, was bitten, was stung by a scorpion, and he was sick. And then they asked if amongst them there's anyone who can perform the ruqya. So one of them, they made the ruqya on that person, and he was cured. He recited upon him the Fatiha, and he was cured immediately by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he did that for several sheep. And he said, I know how to give the ruqya, but you have to give me for that some sheep. So they agreed. So they took the sheep. And then after they're finished, and he got the sheep, the companions, they're leery. They're not sure if what they did was right or not. So they didn't divide up the sheep until they got back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him about that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, "Qad asabtum, you did the right thing. Iqsimu li bi qisma." He said, "Give me a portion. give me my portion from that. And then in the wording of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which we're referring to in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ حَقَّمَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, that indeed the most rightful thing that you take wages for is the book of Allah, is the book of Allah. So the majority of the scholars from the Malikiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah and the Hanabila, yani Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, and Imam Ahmed, they all have the same position, that it's lawful to take wages for teaching the Quran. And this is some of the people of knowledge from the Hanabila, they mentioned that it's more specific for those who are in need. As for if a person, he was wealthy and he had no need, it's best for him to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. But somebody who cannot teach unless taking provision and for that to free him up, this is allowed for him. This is allowed for him and this is good. All four of the Imams, they agreed that it's allowed to take wages for the ruqya based upon this narration. And if somebody performed the ruqya for a portion or for some wages and the likes like this they agreed upon, it's allowed for him and Allah knows best. So especially in these days, whenever the society is in the manner that it is and the people, they have to live and they have to pay bills, so to cooperate in this manner, somebody who has the intention to learn the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and to become firm and grounded in that, and then the intention to call and to teach and to educate the Muslims and to remind them and to advise them, so on and so forth. And the only way he will be able to do that is to have support from the believers from one way or another. This is allowed and this is good. And this is from cooperating upon piety and righteousness. And this is also from the fatwa of the Lajna al-Da'ima, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. So for example, if there was a person who's proficient in the Qur'an, and he wanted to dedicate his life to teaching the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the only way he can do that is by taking wages, or by, for example, the masjid paying him in order to free him up so that he can teach. It's, this money that he takes is lawful, and those who give their money and that cause is lawful. And this is all upon cooperating upon piety and righteousness. Right? This has been narrated from Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was questioned one time about why he's always sending money to these different lands. That he's known for sending money to these different lands and he's leaving the poor people in his own lands. So they asked him about that. And he said, indeed, I know in these different lands, people who are students of knowledge and they're good at seeking knowledge and they memorize and learn the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they call. And if they have support, then their knowledge will be spread. And if no one supports them, then their knowledge will be lost. So I put my money where it would aid the religion. In this manner like this. This has been narrated from him. So he would support the students of knowledge. And it's been mentioned likewise that Ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, he used to send monthly a salary to Fudayl ibn Iyadh, that he would provide for him for the same reason, because he was a student of hadith and a caller to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he would help and aid them in this path. So there's a fine line here with regards to this issue, and it goes back to the intention. So a person, he will not learn the sciences of the religion in order to have the worldly portion, in order to get his livelihood. But he will learn in order to establish the deen himself and then to call and benefit others. And then if he has to get aid and support from the believers in that path, then this is lawful and good. And many times the one who is sincere, Allah will open up for him and provide for him, or he could not even perceive. And this is from the best means of cooperating upon piety and righteousness. وَالدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَائِرِهِ, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the one who leads others to good is like the one who is performing it. And they all share in the reward. Although the issue of sincerity is a hidden affair, there are signs. And also, although the issue of insincerity is a hidden affair, from the affairs of the heart, there are signs. Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Akhlaq Al-Ulama, in his book Akhlaq Hamalat Al-Quran, in both of these books, he has chapters mentioning narration after narration and characteristic after characteristic and trait after trait of those who are sincere with the Quran and with Islamic knowledge and those who are insincere. So there are traits. So if we see people who have the traits of righteousness and goodness that fit those traits, then we aid them and support them wherever they may be. Alhamdulillah. We hope to share in the reward that they have. And anybody who has those other traits, wallahi, we will not cooperate them. We should not cooperate with them. We should be cautious from them. We should not help them, support them, because they're people of fitna. They're people of fitna. لا كثرهم الله. لا كثرهم الله. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.